Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And we have a special wonderful treat for you today. Terry Cole Whitaker, who is a miracle and a blessing and a joy in my life. Welcome, Terry.
Oh, Iris, it's so nice to be with you and all your friends again.
Well, and all of your friends, Terry.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know, the Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker had her own church and her own television ministry. It was worldwide, right?
Yes, it was in 400 markets and no cable, all network. And it was in all America, Canada, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Guam. That was it. And other places it would get picked up because it was on Superstation. Like there'd be Superstation in Atlanta. And then there was one here. I think KHJ became a Superstation. So that went everywhere at that time. This is before cable. I mean, this is before Internet.
Wow. And I tell you, I got up for at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning to watch that, and I am not a morning person. And I tell you, I used to call people to to watch this. I used to get people up.
I have to tell you what this lady told me. I did this event yesterday, you know, seminar, and she said that she was a little girl, and her mother would watch me every Sunday. And this one Sunday, the show went on, and the TV broke. The mother went immediately out to the TV place, bought a TV, and brought it immediately home to watch the rest of the show. This is this beautiful young woman. She was telling when she was a little girl that impressed her.
Well, I was that way about it, and when I called someone and said, get up and watch this, they said, something is going on, or Iris wouldn't be up calling people at 7 o'clock in the morning. Something is going on, and they got up and watched it and called their friends. And
isn't that amazing? Because I was just doing what I needed to do and wanting to help people and to serve God and, you know, and just also live a lot of my own dreams, and that was interesting.
Well, you know, Terry,
like everybody else.
Yes, and you shine like the sun. You shine like the sun. Your total intention to do that and uplift the life is there in your every thought, feeling, action, word, in the way you share yourself.
Oh, I wish. That's what I'm striving for, Iris, to be able to do that because, you know, it's so interesting. We all, so many people, they want to attain the higher dimensions, but yet we're not human beings yet. It's like a sense at one level we're two-legged animals, and there's nothing wrong with an animal. These are all bodies that living entities, you know, we're all the same, but we have these different bodies. But like with the human body, it has a special power and potential for the individual who is in that body to attain. So it's such an enormous opportunity.
I want you to say that again, because my mind just sort of like grappled with that. But first, I want to back up to what we intended to do, and we intended to do a prayer for service here together, and knowing that where two or more are gathered together, they may ask what they will, and it shall be done.
Oh, this would be wonderful.
And also, we want to ask you who are listening to join with us in this prayer. So you lead it.
All right. And in this prayer, everyone, let's really recognize what we're doing. You're going to pray for yourself, and we can pray for each other. And we can, in doing this, what happens is agreement is really, really high. And one of the things is like, one of the things that I do is, okay, I give my power to support the Divine Mother. You know, this is Mother God. And then I get behind her and she uses that to please Father God. And then when God, the Mother, and the Father are happy, all the children are happy. And when all the children are happy, the Mother and Father are happy. And so like everything works well when we all align with God at our own level of understanding, the God that works for us, because God's unlimited. But it's the same God, and God always answers prayers. So I thought, if we all work together, it builds that energy.
Yeah.
Are you ready, everyone?
Yeah.
All right, now take a nice deep breath. And breathe in lots of energy and love. And as you exhale, just let go. Notice any tension in your body. And as you inhale again, breathe in love and light. And inhale, then notice if you have any tension in your body and where you're holding this tension, which would be if there's tremendous pain, that means there's a lot of tension in that area. And oftentimes if you get in touch with your body during this prayer, as you breathe in and more oxygen and energy, and you breathe out, you let go, notice if there's any tension. And what you want to do is let go in those areas just as much as you can, because it's what we want to do is embrace the divine will and give up all fear. Now, if we do this, this is a very miraculous thing, and people will get healed. And so you have to look and ask yourself, are you willing to give up fear? Because before we go to pray to God, we have to cleanse our heart. You cannot take a dirty heart to God. And God sees only the beauty and the perfection. So look, are you willing, ask yourself, to give up fear? Because it is a false God. It cannot give us anything. All right, now, inhale and breathe in love. Feel the love flowing in you and allow the love to just flow out. And now, as you continue to breathe slowly, focus in the area region of your heart. And right there, as you breathe into that is where God, a super soul, Paramatma, Father, Mother, God within, resides along with us, the living being, in the region of the heart. And even that, ourself, we cannot be contained within this body because we are spiritual. And so let us let go of the strong attachment that we have to material things. And let us say, Beloved Mother, Father, God, say that to yourself in your prayer, if you choose, Beloved Mother, Father, God. I know that you love me. Say that if you choose. And I know that you're right here with me all the time. And I know you know everything about me because you've always been with me and I've always been with you. And now in this moment, I turn towards you. I cannot maybe see you at this time, or maybe I can, but I know that you're there. And I'm going to now reveal my heart. So let's just take a few moments. God knows everything about you, and even what you feel guilty about or ashamed of or remorseful about. Share your heart. Talk to God for just a few moments. And reveal your heart. And now, let us ask our beloved Mother, Father, God, who love us, who never abandons any one of us, ever. Ask for what you desire, truly from your heart. Ask. Now, ask for someone else. Ask for their highest good. someone that you love. Now, say a prayer and ask for some blessings for people that you've been angry with, you've carried a grudge for, you possibly hate, whatever it may be. Realize that that energy has been blocking the flow of vital life. And now ask a prayer. Say, ask for the best that you can for these people right now. Pray for them to be happy, to be successful. Yes, and knowing that as they're successful, we're successful. And that more importantly, we say, Divine Mother, Father God, we know that this is coming about. And we ask that you bring forth the love that we are. We ask that you allow us to realize you, to know you, to love you, to serve you. We make ourselves and open ourselves as your instrument in the world to bring forth the kingdom of God in the here and now. The only moment there ever is this moment. You do not have a future, and you do not have a past. In this moment, right now, feel it. Be there. You are the moment. You are the moment. You are the consciousness. You are the being that is there. And it is in this moment you realize everything. So whatever you desire to know, to have happen, to realize, be there now in this moment. And as you're in this moment, knowing that that which you have prayed for and asked for, or that which is far greater and far better than you could ever imagine even asking for, that God brings to you in God's perfect time and divine right way for the highest good of all. And we know that this is true, and we say, Divine Mother, Father God, I am your instrument. Use me. Use me through my talents, abilities, resources, services, money, energy, knowledge, education. And therefore, allow me to be in service to the divine and on a mission of God. And everyone to yourself say, I am on a mission of God. To prove God in every aspect of our lives. God, use us to prove you, to bring knowledge and light and love and bliss to all living beings everywhere. And we know that this is so, and we accept it, and together let us say, and so it is.
And so it is.
Amen.
Yeehaw!
Ooh,
that was so wonderful, Terry.
Wow. That is not me.
I know.
No. It's a Father, Mother, God within. Because you know the truth is, I was thinking, you know, whenever I think I'm good at something, like I'll go, uh-huh, and then all of a sudden I can't do it. I forgot how. I don't know how. And then when I say, oh, yeah. God does it through me. All of a sudden, now I remember what I needed to remember. I could speak what I needed to speak. But it's that thing where we think we own something, we know something, we have talent, but it's really God using us. And it's like when we get really proud, pride always comes before the fall. And why we have to fall is to get back to balance, because we're so far on the other side. And when we recognize and realize that God, our Mother, Father, God, or however you like that word, whatever name you have for God or Goddess, divine intuition, power, force, presence, is using you, you can do anything if God wants you to. You just have to say, okay, I'm open. Use me. Write through me. Speak through me. Paint through me. Be with people through me. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. You know, one time Dolly Parton, somebody interviewed her and said, do you pray? Do you believe in God? And she said, honey, I ask God to be my photographer, my hairdresser, the one who does my nails, my publicist.
Wow.
my agent, and I thought, wow, if all of us only did that,
let's do it now. Mm-hmm. Let us, everybody, let's ask God. Basically, we have to understand God is showing up everywhere in the sense, because God is within every person. So whatever we have within our consciousness is going to show up in our body and in our affairs. And that is to teach us to come back to love, to come to the love place, because that's the place of balance and it's a place of transcendence. And is love is God and God is love. So let's just really ask that God shows up and brings the best person for every position and everything that we're doing in our lives in order for us to fulfill our divine destiny.
Oh, say that again.
Let's ask God to show up as any person that we need to know or be, and the teachers and the guides and the people we work with, and to bring the perfect right people that can do all these things so that we can join together and fulfill our divine destiny.
Hallelujah, Miss Terry.
How what?
Hallelujah. I'm not kidding. You know, that's how I feel when you're speaking this way,
mm-hmm.
and I think everyone feels that way, mm-hmm. because when you speak from the Father, Mother, God, that is the mm-hmm. language that is spoken in all of our hearts at all times.
Yes. Yes. And there's two gods. We've always thought there's only one. Why would God be alone? Because you have to have two to create. And more than that, they act as one. So there is one God. But there's also two gods. There's one God. There's one God is two, and two God is called in Sanskrit Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. And that means they're inconceivably one and different at the same time. It's inconceivable to the finite mind. That's why we have to get knowledge from the mystics. That because, you know, everything goes through cycles. And spirit doesn't go through cycles. Self, you don't go through cycles because you're always perfect. You're always whole, complete. And we're each a seed of God. We are a child of God. We are that seed of God, and we have this potential that we are. But we have the choice to develop it or not. And the development is actually the real evolution. It is the evolution of the soul, the complete awakening of the soul to what we are and our relationship with God and all of this. And so this is what devotional life is about, is that now, think it, Iris, this is what I want to see. With all the people who are listening right now, there's enough of us out there simply really to understand this and to really get it and to do this and then to express that out in our lives that can transform, first of all, transform us, but it'll transform so many other people and help Mother Earth. I think she's being lifted into the spiritual domain is what I think is happening.
You do?
Yes, I do. This is what's come to me, is that the souls that are here, it's a very difficult time in a sense, but it's really not. Because if you notice, every master, every great teacher, all went through tremendous challenges. We often think they didn't have any. No, because the challenges make us great. Because in those challenges, you're either going to fall prey to the material appearances, or you're going to hold on to the highest truth. And this is what they all did. But everybody is challenged. And sometimes the greater the challenge is, it seems greater, is because it is bringing up the most of your preconceived ideas of limitation from the past.
And that's not that fun to do, is it?
No. No. I mean, you think. You think Joan of Arc burned at the stake. Do you know how? Oh, my God. I mean, burn your finger. It's like, I know God lifts you out of the body, but it's like still, you know, it's like she could have renounced. The Christians said to the lions, they could have said, I renounce God. But they said, I'm not doing that for nobody. I mean, awesome.
And finally, in America, it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. And that is really what America is. See, everybody's worried about all the different things politically going on in all the world, all the stuff. That's all been calculated out. That's all been computerized and planned. Did you know that? For a long time. Now, and every possible scenario has already been computerized and the way to stop it. But nobody can stop a soul. Nobody can stop a spirit, an individual who is a child of God, united with God, because we're spiritual beings. We are superior to matter. They're dealing in these lower realms, fear-based realms. And so when you can use fear, when I tell people, I really want people listening to think about how much fear has been running your life and what it is, fear of the future. And this is the fear that something's going to happen to me that I don't want to have happen. Now, what happens is the real, see, in the Bhagavad Gita, the sage, the real mystic is someone who is not, who is equal poise all the time in happiness and distress, in heat and cold. And whatever's going on, they stay right in the God place because they know this is the world of effects. Now, I feel like Mother Earth at one level, okay, she has been so wonderful. She has tolerated so much. No one has given more than Mother Earth. I mean, really, to allow all of us living entities and beings since time immemorial, for whoever knows long, to be here and to do all of our nonsense. You know, and she loves it. I think I just have the feeling that the gods, the demigods, who's running everything, Mother Earth is now going in to become a spiritual world, and all of us on it at that time will also take the ride. And it also at the same time we're here to lift her, and we lift her by our own consciousness. And that's why if we can align with this, this is the Garden of Eden. This is the Kingdom of Heaven.
And you know what else? I think it's very, very, very important for all of us to call on Ascended Master help, on
yes.
great cosmic beings, on angelic help.
Anybody you can, whatever your religion and whatever your faith, what happens is God is unlimited and takes unlimited forms, unlimited names, unlimited qualities and pastimes. So there's ascended masters, there are mystics, there's rishis, there's sages, there's avatars, you know, there's goddesses. It says that, I think that there's 3 million demigods that are running the parts of the universe. I mean, call on Jesus. I think, don't you?
To whatever your understanding
That's
is, to call on the greatest light to assist and uplift here.
Yes.
Not only each one of us individually, but I believe that what is happening and what is called for is the complete realization of each person that we deserve the Garden of Eden and to restore
yes,
the earth.
We deserve it in a way, but we don't. It has nothing to do with the deserving it. It's like, in a sense, because that's like, what may I say? We don't deserve or not deserve. And this is, we have to earn everything. We were given the opportunity to live in this Garden of Eden. And as caretakers of it, see, if you look at the book of Genesis, God created And this is the creation, how it operates, and there's billions of universes, and I've been told that there's an Earth in every single one of them, and how special to really understand that that Earth is. And hold on one second. Okay, what was that, Iris? I'm sorry, I had to. Someone came in the room.
We were talking about restoring the Earth to its original divine design.
Exactly. This is it now. We tend to think the Garden of Eden happened before. See, what happens is we think there's a thing called time. Time only exists in the material. And that which is spiritual is actually everywhere present. So we are calling this the material. It's only that it acts in a different way, but it becomes what we see it to be. So like people are saying bad things about the Earth, or people are criticizing God. Now all of these things are actually what bring forth what we call maybe negative manifestation, because it's coming from negative emotions. It's not coming from love and acceptance of God. We're not God, so we're not making up the rules. But God is pure love. God's not evil or bad or have a mean streak or something like this. So what we're projecting onto God are all of our own, what would you say? It's our judgments. And so it's like if we want to be healed and we want to bring forth, allow the earth to ascend and all of us to ascend in that consciousness, we have to deal with the basic issues of life. How do you get along with your husband, your wife, your kids, the neighbors? What kind of a person are you? I mean, like the other day, there's these big black beetle was under the carpet. And I was thinking, oh, I should squash him. I thought, no, why, I'm going to squash this guy. In fact, you know how some people will buy a rat and put it in a cage and bring it home? A rat is in my house. I've attracted a rat, so I just feed him. You know, it's like he's got a right to live. So we're always thinking we're going to go into this higher dimension, like all of a sudden, without doing our part. And it's like in the Garden of Eden, we're the gardeners, we work, but we also have relationship. So how do we treat each other? And that's why Jesus came to say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love others as I have loved you. This is it. Now, what is love? Love means I don't hate you. Love has no opposite. And this thing, when we actually, people are hating each other, or it's really, what is it? They're afraid of each other. And it's because we're wearing fear glasses. But we have creative abilities. We have supernatural powers, mystic abilities. You know, we have powers of creation and such. And so if you focus on it and you see it there, and that's the God you're serving, then you're afraid all the time. You're always in stress because you're afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen to me. But there is no tomorrow. There's only this moment. And if you can master this moment with love and how we deal and never stop loving, even if the person comes and spits in your face, because if you spit back or if you strike back, you're back in the karmic circle again. If we transcend that, that doesn't mean you shouldn't put people who are hurting other people in jail. They should be in jail, but you know what it should be? Retraining center.
Well, you know, the real problem when we're having a problem with someone else is, this is what I've noticed for myself, is that I don't want to deal with that because I can't love myself when that goes on.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like I have... like my husband and I used to fight about money.
Uh-huh.
And I finally discovered that we were going to like fight and struggle about money until it couldn't be a source of separation. In other words, we wouldn't start blaming each other. We wouldn't stop loving ourselves. We wouldn't stop loving each other. And we wouldn't stop having a good time when we mm-hmm. disagreed about it. And then it went away as a problem. You see
right.
what I'm saying? I'm saying
exactly.
The same thing as you, I think.
Very good, Iris. Say it again. Explain it again, one more time, so everybody understands.
You know, when we have recurring patterns that have been real discouraging, and you know how you've gone, oh, this can't be happening. I already healed this. I'm way too enlightened for this. A person like me, with all of my accomplishments, couldn't be having this going on. This is bull. You know? I have found that those things that repeat themselves is the test for me is, can I love myself when this person does this or when this thing happens? Can I still...
Well, you know what love is? Love is, it's a flow. It is a feeling. It is, you know, it's like if we, everybody just, who's out there, close your eyes for a moment, unless you're driving. I don't know if you listen while you're driving on your computer. But anyway, just think about the person that you love the most, you know, or that greatest loving feeling. Maybe it was for a dog or a cat or your car. It doesn't matter because it's the same feeling. But just remember the greatest love that you've ever felt, the greatest. Now, we think it was because of that other person or the situation, but for some reason we felt safe enough to melt the iron wall around our hearts enough so we could feel the essence of our being. That's what that is. Love's the essence of our being. It is and we get more as a gift from God, as our reward for loving God. As we give love to God, God gives love to us. God's always loving us. But it's like whatever we give out is what we get back. So this love thing, what we tend to do now, so you remember that moment of the greatest love, remember it again. And just notice how you felt. Now, as you use this as your reference point, and that does not mean that's going to be the top of what you've ever felt, but you have actually allowed yourself, given yourself permission at that time to experience the feeling of love, which is who you are. The rest of the time, the wall goes back because it's the fear, and it's the fear of not wanting to experience the loss in relationship. So what we instead we're saying, well, if I love you that much, I don't want to feel that pain of separation. I'll even get rid of you first before you leave me. You see?
Get it over with.
Get it over with.
Instead of cutting off the puppy dog's tail a little at a time.
Yeah. But there's a fear of the real feeling of love. The true feeling of allowing God to express completely through us. That's what bliss is. But there's, see, in the English, we have like three words for love. But like in Sanskrit, there's levels and of love of God that are, we don't even have words for. It's amazing, huh?
Well, I think also what you're saying is to move on. Whatever's happening is to give praise, love, and gratitude for it, knowing God only sends good.
God only sends good. I think so. But we said about that prayer, you know, the idea of staying in constant prayer is God's your constant companion. Why don't you talk with God all the time? You know, we think, well, something's wrong. Why? I mean, you've got God with you. I was thinking of that. It's like God's everywhere. As people, most of us, we're like fish in the, we're living in the water, and here we are living in God like a fish in water wondering where the water was. His God's everywhere. And it's that sense of talking and talking with God and being used. This is the greatest thing, because when we're giving out, this is what the love is. This is the flow of love. You see, we're giving out the love. We're giving our products. We're giving our services. What it means is when you believe, you know, you're on a mission of God. So we all have the same ultimate purpose in life, which is God realization, self realization. We don't make up the rules. earth is a training ground, but it's also the kingdom. It's an interesting thing. The path to the kingdom and the goal, in a sense, are the same, because we continue to live our lives, but from a different place. We live from, I call it the spiritual zone. If we live from the spiritual zone, like Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of it. So then the world can be lifted up into where we are.
And that's the job. As I am lifted up, the earth is lifted up with me.
Exactly. So this is the thing. When you talk, they talk about 144,000. I don't know where anybody ever got that number, but it could be. But that has to be pure, enlightened souls. And this is a challenge. But do you imagine if we go for it, even if nobody else does, what is it going to do for us individually? But can you imagine if two people working in harmony together are equivalent to 22 people working alone? Can you imagine what three aligned people could do? Five aligned people could? That means no envy at all, nothing. Completely working for the welfare of the other individual.
And for the upliftment of all life. And yep. In other words, I don't think, you know, our concern for life can't end at our children. It can't end at our curb. It can't even end at our planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be, when we ask for something, it's for the highest good,
exactly,
of all. It's for a blessing for all.
That's
it's
right.
The game in which everyone wins.
That's right.
And I continually ask for that paradigm, that,
yep,
people know that, and,
yep,
and wish for everyone the same happiness,
yes,
as they're wishing for themselves.
Exactly. And that means, like, on the very practical level, because, you know, on the very practical level, that means having not even any thought of I'm going to get even. Not even a tinge of a thought is I'm going to teach you a lesson. Not even a hint of any kind of a grudge of what you'll see. Because what happens is the material consciousness is a disease. And there are symptoms of the disease. And it is contagious and is based on fear. So you have to be in the spiritual world. You have to understand we're in this world. But if we become of it and we take on that consciousness, we have to suffer from that, because that is the world of suffering. But the world of spirit is the world of ecstatic bliss all the time. All the time. And people say, well, isn't that boring? No, an unlimited, infinite variety. Pretty interesting.
Well, you know, I have been noticing that kind of coming through in different ways for me. Like, I'll be just outside at night doing something I did, you know, just something really mundane, like taking the compost stuff outside.
Aww.
And all of a sudden, I'll feel this magic of the night and aliveness on my skin in a way that I haven't felt, wow, since I was a child.
Wow.
And just feeling like this deep sense of well-being, that all is truly well. And
you know what's something about you, but you don't want to take it to heart in a sense, is that you are really one of the few, or I haven't really heard of any, I've never met anybody like you anyway, Iris.
Likewise.
You're so wonderful. But I'm telling you, a lot of people will give lip service to the philosophy that they believe in, but they don't do it. But see, you practice it in all of, I know just from talking with you and our times together, that this is what you're doing. And this is the thing. It's like, they say someone who has all this sacred knowledge, but they don't apply it, is like a donkey loaded down with books. Because you have the knowledge, but what good does it do you? Because it is in the application to really forgive. go beyond forgiveness of the person that you think hurt your feelings, you think did you wrong. You have to understand, that was God showing up as that person to reflect back to you something you've done to somebody else, a fear that you have, or a grudge, or a reality, a concept that you have accepted because it's there. And God has everything set up in the universe perfectly for our God realization, and it's like operates on mirrors. So, and it's as above, so below, as within, so without. And so it's going to express. And so can you forgive that person and go beyond forgiveness, because forgiveness is still saying, well, you did it, but I'm going to forgive. But to forget it, it's like to just breathe that out of your consciousness and your body. It's dead. It's over. It's gone. If there's a lesson to be learned, learn the lesson. But learn the principles of life. And then hear this knowledge over and over and over again until it's like, it's who you are. You live it. You are. Now you are in the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter if the guy next to you is living in hell. You'd want him to live in the kingdom of heaven, but if he doesn't want it, it's his choice. But he can change in a moment. But if you hang out with him for too long instead and haven't protected yourself from their country, you could lose ground. You could. So you want to be really strong when you're helping people to love them and want to lift them. But if you find yourself forgetting or losing your spiritual aspect, then maybe you need to do something.
And, well, you know, you have to share this with people who wanted and want to be uplifted.
That's right. You can't go say, you have to have this. What would we do if somebody came and told us that? We said, what do you mean I have to have this?
Well,
you have to want it.
Well, I think also we have to be very careful, because there are people that are going around saying, you know, you will go to hell unless you serve God this way that I'm going to outline to you. And I don't believe God speaks that way.
I doesn't seem. I mean, if a mother or a father spoke that way to a child, you'd think that was very harsh. So it wouldn't seem that God would be that way. I think, I don't know, but it doesn't seem that way. It seems that God would be more loving and sweet.
Well, I just have to think about the way I love my children. Exactly. And I wouldn't punish them that way. And I figure God is at least as good a parent as I am.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody's being punished. I don't think punishment exists. I think what it is people, there's laws in the material world. The soul, in the spiritual world, there are no laws. There are no rules, because everything is absolute unconditional love. You know, people have spiritual bodies, it's eternal life. There's no birth, there's no death, there's no rules, because you don't need rules, because everybody operates fully from love of God and love of each other as themselves. And instantly, what would you say? They're playing their part in God's movie. Which we all are, really, ultimately. Nothing could be happening that was what God wasn't allowing, but God, see, gives us the freedom of free will choice. Because, you know, wonder if God said, you have to love me. I mean, what's this? We're part of God, so we've got divine qualities. We have a choice.
Well, you know, I just always have to ask myself, what would be the more funner thing?
What more funner thing? Well, you know, it's true. You know, I was thinking, I like going to, I like when I'm in India, I like to go to the temples, and I like to do the worship. I like to sing the songs in churches and temples. I like to sing mantras. I like to think of when I'm cooking for God. I like to think that when I'm eating, I'm saying, thank you, God, for this food. I like it when I'm seeing God everywhere. That's when I'm happiest. I just want to remember that all the time, and that's the work that we have.
Yes, and what more uplifting thing could you do than go around seeing and loving God on everything and everyone and every condition you see?
What's the interesting thing about hearing? I spoke at this at church yesterday. And the thing, see, hearing, this is how it starts, how manifestation moves through the dimensions. And it'll start at the level of hearing because it starts at the level of the sound vibration. Before the sound is actually the presence of the being with the desire to do something. But when it starts to manifest, actually, even in the etheric planes are a little bit beyond the actual sound itself. So these dimensions. And then as we hear it, you see, it begins to take form. And as the more we hear something, the more we, if we like it and we think about it, then we start thinking about it. And now the more we think about it, we start talking about it. And then as we talk about it, we're verbalizing, we start to act on it. We feel it. We desire it. We want it. And it manifests. So hearing is really, really important, and that's why people should be it's an intelligent thing to do, to counteract, to go beyond the negativity that is being communicated everywhere out there in the world, and most people are just going, and it's going into the subconscious, it's keeping the person asleep and in the darkness of ignorance. And they're just going, and they're taking in all of that. The way to lift ourselves is to understand how it functions, how it works, and then work according to that so that we can fulfill our divine destiny. Do what we came here to do. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the wake-up call. Now it's time to wake up. Start to get energized. Start, operate fully, come fully alive and fully present, and now do your job. You know the job you came here to do. You had the assignment. Now do it.
Carrie, that was great. I am.
Yes.
Carrie, how can people reach you?
Well, that would be wonderful. You can go on my website, which is terrycolewhittaker.com. TerryColeWhi, two T's, TTAKER. So it's Terry with a Y, Whitaker with two T's, AKER.com. And on there I have a lot of my courses and classes with the principles on there, and people that want to work with me personally, they get the Master Library. And that's the master course. And a lot of people want to be teachers because I do ordain people. And I've Kathy Hearn, who's the who is the president or spiritual leader of the United Church of Religious Science. I trained her as a minister. She's a very good person. Anyway, so I've trained a lot of ministers and a lot of people who want that. Then they will hear the course, and then what I give, and also people just want to make fast advancement, and they want to allow themselves to flow the love all the time and to prosper and to get the support now that they need out there to get the job done and to fulfill their divine destiny. So I work with people who get the Master Library by giving them free email coaching and teaching. And why I do that is I want to stay connected with these people who are feel that they really want to do great things with their life. And so that's why I just offer this free email coaching with no time limit when they get the master course.
Thank you, Terry. And you're going to be speaking at the annual WESAC.
Oh, WESAC. I've never been there. What's it like there?
You haven't been to Mount Shasta?
Of course, but I've never been to WESAC.
It's wonderful. And
Is it kind of like the Oregon Country Fair?
No, it's the celebration of I don't have all of my facts, but it has to do with Buddha and cycles of the moon, and it many, many great light beings come together there.
Really?
And yes, there are Ascended Master conclaves in Mount Shasta at time. And
I've had many supernatural experiences at Mount Shasta. Many.
I know. It's just a wonderful,
awesome place. In climbing those mountains and everything.
Yeah.
And reading the Ascended Master's books. Those were very nice. And I told you I was with, forgot her name.
Pearl.
Yeah. Just one evening. But I thought, so interesting, there were like five of us there. And I thought, you know, oftentimes we think, oh, if something's true, it's going to draw a lot of people. Well, you can have a rock concert of somebody with a, you know, it's not my style, but kind of harsh, and you got a million people. Does that mean that's the highest thing? Usually, the higher you get, the fewer people there are. Because you're going to these dimensions, these higher planes, that means there's you just have to let go of what's been causing your trouble anyway, but people don't want to let go of it.
You can't leave on the train when you're holding on to the rail at the station.
No, you can't. It'll pull you apart, actually.
Well,
you can't.
I've been in that place where I felt like I was pulled apart.
Yes, I know. That's true, me too. But it's like, sometimes we just... Did you like those cards I gave you, those Oracle? Have you tried them?
Yes, I have. Thank
you.
Didn't I send you a note?
Well, you did. You said thank you. But I wondered, because what I'm going to do is just reading in the little instruction book to give you more insight into. I've gotten some phenomenal, communication. And these Oracle cards, and they're ROM Oracle cards, and the really nice thing about them is if you put them on your altar, say on a Wednesday night, and you offer some flowers of water to God, however you perceive God to be, how God is for you, and then you ask the questions the night before that you're going to ask the next day, Thursday, and then just call upon the highest beings that you possibly can, the highest dimensions of God, to express through this Oracle cards for you. And they're based on the story of the Ramayana, Ram, Sita, and Hanuman, which is a wonderful story of all different. It's just beautiful. So anyway, but then you go to the cards and then do maybe three or four ohms, maybe five ohms, or whatever sound mantras you do to center yourself or breathing. And then, you know, and then ask your the highest presence of God that you know, Holy Spirit, then to express through you. Awesome. See, a lot of times, if we go to something in a sacred mood,
yes,
it makes all the difference. It's like if you go to your job with a sacred mood, this is, I'm working for God, and
yes,
these are all God's children, and I'm going to train myself in this environment to be the highest being I can possibly be, regardless of what other people say and do. Isn't that cool?
Yes, you know, I've always worked for God, and there have been times when I worked at a job for $6 an hour, but I drove a Porsche, I wore silk blouses, I had jewels, it didn't matter what I got paid, you know what I mean?
No, it didn't. No, it really didn't. It's an interesting thing. I know this, it's like... It's just to be open to God's unlimited abundance and not always be telling God how to do it, because that's God's job. Like there was this woman who came to me from one of the seminars I did in Honolulu this year, and she said she'd been living on the ocean front in Hawaii for 10 years for free. Now, other people say, oh, I can't find a place. And I knew this other lady, too. I stayed with her one time when I was in speaking in Honolulu. And she this house, she had a wonderful apartment, and she was paying $100 a month. And everybody around her was paying like $1,500. But she had started there since the beginning, and she would take care of the yard, which was nothing. And this person never raised her rent. Ever.
Oh, you know, I know of someone who lives in Hawaii, and He lives continually in like $4 and $5 million mansions right on the beach. And it's because he's an excellent caretaker. And
yep.
So when people are gone, he just lives there and this beauty and opulence and wealth and
yep.
He gets paid to do it.
Yes. 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 One time when I was isn't that beautiful? That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's you get paid by doing that which is your nature. And I was thinking in the Bhagavad Gita, I was listening to it today, and it's better to do your own job poorly than to do someone else's expertly. Because what happens is, and I understand, it's like I experience the creation as weaving at some level, and that each one of us is a thread in that weaving. But if you leave the place where you're supposed to be to go somewhere else, where you go, there's a bump, and where you left, there's a hole.
Oh.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
So we all have our place. And every, you know, some may have more talents than another in some way. And some may, but that doesn't matter. If you use whatever you've got, in your life's work. See, we have the same purpose, which is God realization. We all have the same mission, which is to love and serve God by working for the welfare of others, to lift other people into this consciousness. And the third thing is our life's work, which will be where we use our talents and abilities.
Yeah.
It's where our products and services. You know, I did before we had our meeting, I put some of the essential oil, I put transcendence on. And I was thinking, Iris gave me these nice oils, and I was thinking, wouldn't that be great, like before a meeting, you decide what it is that you want to have your predominant consciousness being, and then you put on the essential oils that have been put together by God on your body, so it goes directly into the consciousness and the bloodstream of the body, elevating the consciousness of the body.
Terry, you could go on for days, and I could listen. We're out of time.
Okay.
I want to thank you so much for being
here. You're Iris. You're the best. I love you so, and what you're doing, and just want more people to be like Iris Jackson.
Oh, Terry.
I do.
No, that would make some holes. They need to be
themselves. Like, we want to be Christ conscious. Doesn't mean we want to be Jesus. But
yeah.
Or we could have the Buddha, however you call that, whoever is God for you. But this is the highest consciousness. Why not be the topmost that's possible?
Yeah, yay for that. I wanted to say I have 3 absolutely free copies of the movie The Secret, and I'll give them to the first 3 people that email at miracleshp@yahoo.com. That's miracleshp@yahoo.com. And Terry, thank you so much for being here. I want to tell people that you will be speaking at WESAC in May in Mount Shasta, along with many other wonderful people. And one of them is going to be here next week, the beautiful, beloved Diana Cooper, and from England. And Terry, we have just 30 seconds. What would you like to give in 30 seconds?
I just say that the object of all the teaching is application, and it's only in the application, the flow of the love.
And thank you for being with us. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.